Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of being with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, and provided.
Selected this hymn because in this second stanza we read
down there the second part that we're to join with all nature in manifold witness, and the subject is witnessing to believers and unbelievers tonight, and that is the thought of how we should do this in our speech. On the second, please.
Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, summer and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness.
Tonight, those verses, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Man, I haven't arrived on that. So I need prayer. And as we have sung that hymn just now, it says, you know, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I sure need help on that. So maybe you'll be praying as we consider together verse 6. But we have some more singing. How about us singing a hymn we haven't sung recently? Is 537. What shall I render to my God? 537.
Mercy, thy delight, thou ever blessed.
Well, you've done quite well in that hymn. We haven't sung for some time. Let's see how you do in 656. You know, when you come here, you just leave your head outside of the door, and some of these hymns are so great, and you need to grasp them, and so 656 is a hymn. Pray. Our Father, tonight we are grateful to come into your presence because of Christ's work at Calvary. Hear us, we pray, as we come and we have need. We ask that we might be instructed and that we might be encouraged and that we might see our blessed Lord Jesus and the necessity of proclaiming him in a gracious and also a potent way, and that we might be concerned about how we should speak to others about the need of Christ. So we pray that we may have ears that will hear tonight and eyes to see, and that a mouth would be able to speak in such a way that you would be honored, for we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you. Be seated as well. Yes, it's Colossians 4. And we've been in this area of Colossians 4 about different areas of evangelism. And I would like us to know that these last verses that are coming up, I haven't done much study on them. I've read, but I'm looking forward to even using, explaining those closing remarks of the Apostle Paul and to the Christians there at Colossae. Now tonight is verse 6, and I ask you to give attention to it because I think it's so vital for us, all of us, and especially we who know the name of Christ, that we ought to really pay attention, because I don't think we've arrived. I speak for myself and my observation of you, my dear friends. You know, they used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but the words will never hurt me, or names will never hurt me. Which is it? Where's it, words or names? Which is it?
Names.
Words. Ha-ha! One say words, but... Woo!
Easy.
So, but it's not true. It's not true. Words can hurt you. Names can hurt you. And this verse is saying there, now let your speech, and this is for Christians, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to, you ought to answer every man. And contextually, it has to do with, as it says there in previous verses, where he encouraged us or exhorted us by the Spirit of God. Up there, we started at verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. What, for what reason? That God would open unto us a door of utterance. It's evangelism. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And now watch this. Exhortation to us in the church. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be made with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's quite a task, as far as I'm concerned. Simple but profound, like much of the Word of God. But I do know this, that if you, the Word of God is saying we got to get in sync, that our lives and our words are in sync. You know, it's one thing to say, well, he preaches, but what's his life like? He talks religion, but, you know, I worked with him. And when we're in the faculty lounge or in the place where we have lunch, he'll participate. He'll complain, he'll murmur too, just like the rest of us. This getting in sync, our conduct and our speech. I don't think we've arrived, and I speak, I think, from the fact that, generally speaking, we haven't learned to arrive. But I will tell you this, that a large portion of your life and my life has to do with talking. You may not be much of a talker, but you still have talk. And I really want to say this. I want to plug this, is we need to do what, as this motto is, that we need in 2009, keep praying in mind. And I think that's a secret that goes along with the passage tonight, is that we need to be talking to the Lord about, like verse 6, how we can be effective in evangelizing those who are, as it says in context, or those who are without, or unbelievers, or lost. But this matter of verse 6, I believe, is really saying to us that we need to share our faith with others. That's what I think 6 is saying, sharing our faith with others. How are you going to do that? You say, well, it's rather evident. You know, there are times when we speak, we're to be bold and courageous, and then there are times when we speak that we are to be silent. And I've experienced times when you thought people ought to back you up, and they just didn't say anything and let you kind of carry the load. There's sin and silence too. And you want to speak up for the Lord, speak up. And say, well, I didn't want to get involved. Well, verse 6 says if it comes to the matter of evangelism, we need to get involved. And there's, as we used to say, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you know something you can do? You can feed him salt. That'll change his attitude. Yeah, it will. He'll drink. And I'm saying to you, you can't change me. I've been around too long. And verse 6 says, oh, yes. Your speech can be changed. And it can be changed by being pleasant and gracious, but also it be seasoned with salt. For what reason? That ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, so words make a difference. Indeed, they do. They make a lot of difference. You know, can you remember when you were in school? And you remember everyone getting scolded out? You ever have a teacher criticize you? Did you ever have a teacher commend you? That's very good. You did a nice job. You know, words make a big difference. And so I want you to take it seriously tonight. This is God's word, the inspired word of God. And I don't care whether you're young or old, but if you say, I love the Lord Jesus, you need to pay attention because you've not arrived, nor have I. And just because a preacher preaches a message doesn't mean that he's arrived. We've got a job to do, and here it is, expository preaching, verse 6, preach it. Okay, I'll do what I can. And so you pray as we understand this, perhaps by the help of the Spirit of God. Now, we notice that there was a redeeming of time in this context in verse 5. Redeeming of time, that's an interesting term for Christians to understand. You know what it is to buy a timely purchase? As you've heard probably news, if you're interested in some electronic matters, you might want to consider Circuit City because they're going bankrupt. They're going to have some good sales. You say, well, I don't need to tell me that in the pulpit. I'm telling you, redeeming the time has the idea of a timely purchase. And Christians are to have a timely purchase when it comes to seizing an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus. You may never see him again or her. And there's been an opportunity. Seize it as you would a good bargain. That's what the word redeeming the time means in verse 5. Some of you are very clever about shrewdness about buying and doing things. This is to you, if you're a Christian, be shrewd, just as shrewd as taking up the opportunities to speak to the lost about the Lord Jesus. That's what it means. Well, I know that there have been experiences where people have commended us and say, you know, I'm pleased with you. I appreciate you. I thank the Lord for you. They are encouraging words. And when they're given genuinely, you say, well, that's encouraging. That's good. But, you know, we hear the word, those three words, I love you. And they're used so flippantly. When you say you love somebody, that has the connotation that I'm committing myself, my whole person to you when I say I love you. Well, they're not cheap words. And so if the media today make it sound like it's cheap and you just can flip and say I love you, you've missed it. They're three and very important words and entail commitment. Yes. You know, in James chapter 1, we have the verse there that we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now say that to me again. Well, we're supposed to be quick to listen. Some people haven't learned how to listen. And that's a real gift if you learn how to listen. Some people, when you're talking, they're thinking about a thousand other things. Or how they're thinking of an answer for you. But listen, and when we listen, you might learn something. Listen to what he has to say, what she has to say. You might learn something. You might learn something from your wife or from your husband if you learn how to listen. Don't think you know them all together, friends. But and it says slow to speak. Slow to speak? Well, you know, if you're slow to speak, maybe you ask them, intelligent questions. And that's important words. And it says slow to become angry. Boy, it's easy to get angry, isn't it, friends? Somebody say something, just one little word, you blow off. The Bible said, now hold on a minute. You're supposed to be slow to get angry. We're talking about words. Yes. You know, we can do like take the old tractor out here, one of those old tractors out here, and put the plow on and just go out here and start plowing. You know, and using that symbolically, we can do that with talk. Just sink the plow in and just cover things up and just tear things up. Just keep going. And the Bible said that's not what you're supposed to do. Well, there's this subject then of believers and unbelievers, their relationship with them, has to do with verse 6. I know it speaks primarily about evangelism contextually, but it also applies for believers dealing with believers, because the word, the Bible speaks a lot about speech and about words, a lot. And so I have to go around a little bit and use some other verses because for you to understand. But I like that first exhortation there. It says, let your speech be always with grace. 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 That has the idea of pleasantness in this sense. And it has the idea that of carefulness. I have to use my own, some of my own illustrations. You'll have to live with it. But I try to be gracious when approaching a person about talking about the Lord Jesus. I try. I usually say, you know, I'm concerned. I'd like to talk to you about your soul. I use that method. And some people look at you like, well, and I start talking about the Lord. Now, that's me. You're not me. God's given you a gift. You see things differently than I do. And so use whatever God gives you. I do think that he's the one that would cause us to be able to do verse 6 and how to speak graciously. And I do think that we need to look at the verse and say, you know, I can be unkind. Now, I can blame my background. And I know you may get tired of this, but my background has been basically under a German background. And we're Achtung. And, you know, it sees it in the pulpit, too. I've had people say, you know, you really act like you're angry. Well, I'm not really angry, but it's just the way we are about some things. You say, well, so we are. But I think we can do something about some of this, even in my old age. Well, that's the way I see. Hold on a little bit. Verse 6. Don't jump so quickly. The word of God, this is God's word. He said, I want you to speak. I want you to speak with some pleasantry, some grace. I know you used to say, and just as call an ace is an ace. You don't know how to even say good morning. You just start out biffing off something. Just look at verse 6. Even if we got gray hair, you say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We're not talking about teaching dogs. We're talking about people who say, I love the Lord Jesus and have his spirit, and the Spirit of God saying, listen, you need to be able to speak with a little more pleasantry. Well, I don't know how you're going to change that, Lord. I think that if we're not careful, that as we've been talking about some time ago, of having a root of bitterness, say, well, life hasn't been fair to me. If you judge yourself by the world and say, well, I haven't had this. And, you know, you ladies say, I haven't had this in my house and I haven't had this. And guys can say, well, I've done without a lot of things. And you say, it just doesn't seem like I've had it's been fair. But listen, friends, it says here, if you're not careful, you can have a root of bitterness. And Bible speaks about it. It says that we're not to have a root of bitterness. If you got a bitter spirit, I believe verse 6 is saying that God can help us to root out, as you would go to the garden and pull out weeds, not just break them off, but pull out the roots. God wants us to get rid of the spirit of bitterness. And I think that can happen in marriage, for example. Our brother and sister, Josh and Lydia in Hershey, yesterday was the last, to a marriage conference. I know that in marriage, friends, if you're not careful, verse 6, you could say you're not pleasant. And we need to learn how to be pleasant towards one another. And kind and gracious is what the word is. You say, well, that doesn't sound like Bible. Yes, it's Bible. It's the word of God. It's not the preacher expounding something. He's just giving you the word of God. It's a difference. You know, I want to say this. The matter of out in the kitchen, the wife has some vinegar on the side way back in, and there's oils there. And, you know, vinegar and oil can almost look the same shade, can't it, ladies? About the same color. And I thought, well, You know, I think I already made a mess when I'm doing this, but my wife, she'll tell you. But if you're not careful, you grab vinegar and pour it in rather than the oil. We can do that in with our words. And so we need to consider this first exhortation. It says, let your speech be always, with grace. And then it says here, secondly, sprinkled it with some salt. That is, seasoned with salt. Powder it. speech is seasoned with salt. The Bible also says that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, what does salt do? Well, it prevents putrefaction, or should I use the term rotting, of meat. And says that let your speech be, I should have brought a salt shaker along. Yeah, put some salt on you. Season it with salt so that there's not, so that it may be edifying and tasty. You've eaten food already, it wasn't salted properly. See, you know, you need some more salt, I can tell you that much. And you know what it is to eat something so salty, you say, wow, boy, they just salt that to death like they do some of the soups. So salty. Well, it means that that we have to, that it might be interesting. Your speech should be salted, with seasoned with salt, powdered with salt, so it's interesting and not boring. You know, you can be a robot. And one time when I was in sales, I stopped at this farm place, and they had a little office there. I walked in, started talking to this guy. And I'm telling you, and Dan knows this because he knew the guy, and he just, it's just like he was giving to me the TV news and radio news. Blah, 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 blah. And he just write down lines. Man, I said, you must listen to TV. He said, I do, and the radio. He just gave it just like it was given. You know, God is saying, that's not interesting. If you want to listen to news, turn the news on. Don't listen to somebody tell you everything, but... let your speech be with pleasantry and seasoned with salt. That it would be interesting. That it would be edifying. You know, God's given us two eyes and two ears and one tongue. But that should mean something to us, shouldn't it? It's talking about speech and how to communicate with believers and non-believers. And say, well, maybe we ought to take a little more notice of what verse 6 is saying and see if we can apply it to our own lives. But a lively, no, be colorful. Think about what you're going to say. If you have to, make some notes. Make some notes. I know some people who are speech writers. I don't know if you know that. Brother Rick was a speechwriter, and so he does it professionally. Some of us takes a few little notes, but it ought to at least think about it a little bit. Think a little bit what you're going to say to the wife, or to the husband, or to a fellow Christian, or to a lost person. You wouldn't go to the bank without making due preparation. And don't think that you've got a mind that's just going to work so beautifully. Our minds are also depraved. Yeah, nothing there you didn't know, is there? But some of us don't take time. We'll take time to make sure that on 1,000, 2,000 miles, we get our car taken care of. We plan everything. We take copious notes about things. But when it comes to verse 6, I don't need to do that. That word of God says you need to do that. You've not arrived. And so when you talk to others, you got to do this. Let that speech be always with grace. All right? And may it be seasoned with salt. Because salt has a way of healing. It has a way of restraining. wickedness. And we need to talk. And then this last part of verse 6. I think there is really the secret. What is it it wants us to do? Well, it said, let your speech have pleasantry or be sweet. And it's salty. It's seasoned with salty, not completely salty. And then how, or that ye may know how, ye ought to answer every man. Wow, we're all different. We're all different. When you get to learn that, you'll be smart. And then not everybody thinks the way you think. Say, well, everybody thinks that. No, they don't think the way you think. You may be in a minority. And so to be appropriate, to speak appropriate to another person, it takes some thought and prayer. You're going to get up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to go do this. And you better pray that God will direct you and help you in every matter, in every way. Safety, of course, and guidance. And you know, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you're supposed to speak about the Lord. Not just do your business downtown. You're supposed to speak up for the Lord. You're a citizen of heaven. But you say, well, I don't know how to speak. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. I do think that witnessing is perhaps something that some people say, I can't do that. Maybe I can read the Bible, but I just can't talk to people about the Lord. And the people, I just don't know how to do that. And therefore, I don't do it. Oh, verse 6, the last part. You're going to have to face the Lord on that. It says that you ought to consider how you ought to answer every man. And I think that it's such an important thing. You know, we're talking about evangelism. And the last time or so, I talked about the different kinds of half-baked evangelism that's around town. But there is such a thing as directive evangelism. There's also a responsive type of evangelism. Directive evangelism, say, well, here we are tonight. We're in a church building. Church is meeting together. And we have some singing, a preacher, he preaches. The techniques, they're there. We play the piano, and we have a service. That's all techniques, basically. You know, we're going to do this. We're going house-to-house visitation. And we'll come here and have prayer. We'll go out and visit some places. That's a technique. We're going to have evangelistic services. There's a technique. We have somebody come and they preach the gospel and we sing and we have special. It's all technique. And I'm not against that. But this passage is not talking about techniques. This passage is talking about a kind of responsive evangelism. Now, responsive evangelism is a kind of one-on-one. It's daily life. Sure, you can drag him in here, hear the gospel. But the Bible speaking in verse 6, I think, contextually, that we know how to answer each person one-on-one. Talk to them about the Lord. How are you making out? You let the preacher do that. Well, you should. But you need to learn how to do the last part of verse 6, all of us. And you haven't arrived, nor have I. And that is that we may know how we ought to answer every man. That is very important. That's vital. And you do it basically privately, one-on-one. Friendship evangelism, it's very important. It has to be suited. You can tell a guy's talking. You can tell pretty much where he's coming from if you just kind of listen for a little bit. If an opportunity is given to you to speak to him, you know a little bit about his background. You can tell by his talking. And it has to be, if you're going to approach him, it has to have some suitability to what the way the kind of fellow he is. Some people, you say, I was just listening to you. I'd like to talk to you about spiritual things, about your soul. You say, get out of here. I'm not interested. And that's why it says we have to be careful. And that we don't give pearls to the swine. But we need to be prayerful. And, you know, we need to be talking to people about the Lord. Not that to the duty, but, you listen, if you tasted of the Lord and you know he's good, you want other people to know about the Lord, too. And so that'll be verse 6, the last part, say, I really would like to know more about how to do that. And not everybody believes the same way. It's getting to a place where some people haven't really been churched hardly at all. And I'm not telling tales of a school. A young man with us today, he's not been a church fella. You say, well, I tell you, I didn't think he had a... Listen, you've been churched. Be careful that you don't judge everything from your background. Don't write off people because they don't sound like you sound. The word is appropriately, verse 6, the last part, as far as I'm concerned. The Bible says, let your words be few. I know this one. I used to spend my Sunday mornings when you folk were in church. I wasn't brought up in a church. I know, and I'm not bragging about it, but Sunday mornings were usually when it was suitable was fishing. And along Buffalo Creek, I could tell you almost where every hole is. And I can tell you this, that where the deepest holes were in Buffalo Creek and Lewis, and in Lewisburg area, that the creeks that are quiet, the places where it's quiet, they're the deepest. When it's real noisy, you're pretty well sure that it's not very deep. But when you come to an area where it seems like it's quiet, that's where it's deep. And let our words be few. And we need to be quiet. The Lord wants some depth out of us. That's where the fish are, by the way. And I think that you need to understand that the fool, says a fool, is known by his multitude of words. You know, it's nice. You'll be able to say something precisely in a few words. They may not pay attention to you, but you can just go blah, 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 and say, I can't follow that. But sometimes people who have digested it can just say it in a few words and say, oh, I see that. And illustrations are like windows to open up so you can see some things. I know that years ago, the interdenominational Bible institutes, they taught that when you get up to preach, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and all they did was just give the Word of God and say, well, that's the inspired Word of God. Indeed it is. But they didn't take time to, they didn't have one, they didn't have an introduction and one, two, three, and a conclusion. They just gave the Word of God. See, what's your theme? I don't have a theme. What are you trying to prove to us? Just give the Word of God. Don't you believe the Word of God is inspired? Indeed I do. But I know Nehemiah, when they gave the Word of God, he gave a sense of it. An exposition without explaining it, I don't know how valuable it is. I'd like somebody to explain it to me. And so this is saying to us, it says here, that you may know how to answer. You may know how to answer. You think you know your wife, don't you, fellas? You think you know your husband, don't you, gals? The Bible says we're to study to see how we know each other. You think you know about me, and I think I know about you. Who are we kidding? And it says, all right, when somebody asks a question, it says that we might know how to answer. It is a beautiful verse, verse 6. I'd like to spend more time, but I want to talk about taste. I know it says about tact, how to be tactful, the first part of verse 6. I know how it says we're to be pungent and lively, colorful, interesting. I know it's saying that people are different and your background's not the same as mine. But I need to have prayer. I need to, keep praying as we go about daily. And I need to ask the Lord to direct me that I might leave a truth and give something to the lost. I read that verse to you in opening. I wouldn't mind if you went back there because it's such a beautiful verse, Psalm 34. What's that have to do with words? Oh, a taste. Isn't that wonderful? God's given us the ability to taste things. You lose your taste, I pity you. It's one of the joys of life is to enjoy. God gives us enjoy in our food. And some of us, I guess, take it too seriously maybe, but how nice it is. But in this 34th chapter of Psalm, in verse 8, I tell you, friend, I wonder if you want people to really know verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him and is to be satisfied with a taste of a tasting of the Lord Jesus and his work in your life. You know, they're saying in oral hygiene that you ought to brush your tongue. You've heard that. Brush your tongue. There's where the bacteria is. Oh, well, what's that to do with anything? Listen, if you're not careful, you can get in a rut spiritually and say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. I just don't pay attention. I got business to do. And we go all the way around the world in the preaching of the Word of God. Somebody's, yeah, I'm not with you. I heard it before. Preachers are saying the same thing. But listen, it might be that you're dull. And it may be your taste of the Lord Jesus has become routine. Perhaps you need to, shall I say this, scrape your tongue, spiritually speaking, so that your old dull tongue, and you don't have a delight in the Lord. What a delight it is to have taste and enjoy the food. What a delight is to love the Lord Jesus and to enjoy him and to be pleased with him. So your delight would, I want to talk about Jesus. I want the Lord Jesus. I want people to know of him and to be saved. Be careful you don't become dull. You say, I'm not interested. That isn't right, because it says, if you taste the Lord, in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, you'll see that the Lord is good. It's not the same old, same old. If the same old, church is the same old, and you don't get anything out of it, it might be your fault rather than the pulpit. It could be. You know, the satisfying taste of knowing the Lord Jesus. Now, what's it all about? Verse 6. Before we get into all these remembrances and so forth, which I'm looking forward to. And that is, contextually, this is talking about a conduct. And we studied that the last time here in Colossians about our conduct. Yeah, well, we went over that, didn't we? Yes. We're at verse 5. That has to do with conduct. Walk or conduct yourself in wisdom towards those that are without, the lost, the unsaved. And bind up opportunities. Okay, that has to do with conduct. Okay, now tonight, what did verse 6 have to do? That has to do with a sweet and salty speech. And as it says in the last part, that there may be understanding individually, that it may be attractive and desire that you may be able to do it individually, personally, not depend upon religious techniques, but one-on-one is what it's saying. Oh, friends, I hope that verse 6, and you'll see the need for that exhortation by the Spirit of God, that we'll pray that our speech, that it might have graciousness and pleasantness, but also that it be seasoned, sprinkled with salt to prevent, you know, corruption, and to speak up for the Lord, and then how we might be able to do it appropriately. I believe that's the meaning of verse 6. I'm going to leave it there. But we've looked at this hymn and say, well, I need a model. Yes. You talked about conduct and you talked about speech. Do you have a hymn that would perhaps kind of direct us towards an example of such doings? Yes. I think hymn number 487 would help us to understand the matter of how that our conduct and our speech ought to be together by the fathers of old.
Glorious.
as love knows how, by witness. And that's what we're talking about, witnessing tonight in verse 6. By witness, true and virtuous life, and his conduct and speech in the faith of our fathers. On the last verse. Let's stand, please.
Faith of our fathers.
So, our Father, we ask tonight that we might understand even more personally what it means that we might have a lifestyle that desirous of the evangelizing the lost, and you know, that we might be able to so speak to them that we have words that are appropriate, words that are pleasant and yet salty, and that they might understand that they have need for the Lord Jesus and to enjoy him and to know the sins are forgiven, that repentance and faith may be found in the hearts of loved ones and friends. Help us as Christians to study. Help us to know how to give an answer to those that ask for the hope that's within us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I do want to say, first of all, how did that jump off? I do want to say, first of all, tonight that Jim Thomas had a birthday Friday. For some reason, I thought it was to be tomorrow, but it's Friday. Happy birthday, James. Nice to see you. Appreciate you. Perhaps you have a thought concerning that verse 6 that you would like to add, share with us, or maybe a response of some sort to encourage us.
I think sometimes we err on the side of caution. You know, you mentioned the matter of casting pearls before swine.
Yes.
Knowing what we know about the various types of soil, sometimes we make that determination.
Yeah. Which you said inappropriately.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, down through the years when I'm in a situation where the name of the Lord is used fluently, I look for opportunity to talk to the guy about it. Because I did that a lot. And say, you know, you really have used the name of my friend and Savior, the Lord Jesus. One time I was, and I'm not proud of this, I was going a blue streak, and my older brother said to me, Bill, you don't need to talk like that. I never forgot it. And so there's a place to say something. Say, well, that's not going to change them. You don't know. It's just a word in season. Yes.
I'm thinking of a word being tactful.
Yes.
You know, especially in today's world, you worry about offending right away.
Yeah. Well, and when you get older, Tom, you say, well, hey, some of us get to a place where it said, well, hey, what can they do to us? If they get too violent and slug it out with us or hit us, they're in trouble. There's a time you could handle things like that with physical. I'm in my day. Yeah. But it doesn't do that now. And so you may get a given problems, but I think that we ought to look for opportunities and make them, in season, out of season. Make opportunities. I tell you, people are dying without Christ. Look at the obituary column in the Sun Gazette and the Daily Item, and you see, oh, I went to school with a guy. Yeah. We see that and say, oh boy, I wonder if he really did come to know the Lord. Well, he's gone to a place where perhaps the word is given. That's encouraging, isn't it? Yes.
When we speak with the grace of the Lord, that exposes fault, exposes sin. And those who are talking to, and salt, I guess that would be a way of rubbing it in.
Well, if you can remember when we did hams, we had to rub the salt in, didn't we? To cure hams, we had to rub it in by, do it by hand. And there is a place for that. Yes?
I was thinking about that, where it says we should always have an answer.
Yeah. That says even there, brother, go ahead.
Answer ready.
Yeah.
But the answer implies a question.
Yes.
And so probably going to get further with somebody that has a question rather than you kind of jump on them with four paws, and when they're trying to, all they're interested in is getting across the street.
That's true, but on the other hand, if they see neighbors are watching, you know that, Tom, they're watching. And I had a man at the door the other day, and we were talking. I said to him, well, the Lord's coming. I said, and we need to be ready in the judgment. And he said, I won't be here. He's an older man. He said, he thought the idea that being old and going to soon die, that he won't have to do anything with the judgment. The Lord's coming. So, but the thing of it is, I got a phone call just like Adam and wife said, there's a phone call for you. And I get back to George. Sure. Schaefer. But I plan to do so. We've done some business. I plan to get back and talk with Schaefer about it. That's why we need to keep praying in mind. I think that we ought to kind of, my personal feeling is that we probably ought to, rather than being so reticent or reserved, I think we ought to open our mouths more. You know what I'm saying? I think we border on saying, I can't talk to anybody. I don't know how to do it. I'd maybe give them a track. But no, some people want to be talked to. So we prayerfully ask the Lord. It's amazing. There'll be times you say, I don't know where I got those scripture verses, but they just were fluent in my mind and they came forth and I was able to show them what the Word of God says. That is beautiful when that happens. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
We were reading through Exodus the other night, and the issue of Moses came up with him objecting to the Lord that he didn't have the power to speak.
Yes.
And we were talking about a possible solution to that. One of the solutions that was mentioned was get an Aaron.
Get an Aaron.
Oh, get an Aaron.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Rick.
But we have our own responsibility too.
Yep. Anything else?
The cross-reference in my Bible is chapter 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's the cross-reference for 4:6 and 3:16.
The young man that was here today, his grandmother is one of the writers for the newspaper. And years ago, she said to me, his grandmother said to me, she said, I want to come to church, your church, and see what kind of music you have, because the music today, as probably some of you know, isn't quite like the music we have. But she's never showed up, and now the situation has changed. But I thought I should tell you that about singing with understanding. Yes, well, the blessings of the Lord be upon you all. Amen.